In Luke chapter 4, let's begin to read in verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now by this time, Jesus has been baptized. If we go over and we look in the prior chapter, and that in Luke chapter 3, you find that Jesus has been baptized. And also you'll find in Matthew chapter 4 the same story, or Matthew 3, that he's been baptized at this time. And so he's left Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus, can I just stop right here for just a second? I always make mention of this, and I don't know if I'll get to it while I'm preaching tonight. If you look back in chapter 3, verse 22, the Bible said, After he was baptized, and the dove landed upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Amen. And so now he's in the wilderness. He's been there for 40 days, and in those 40 days he's been tempted, and that of the devil. And we're at the end of those 40 days, and now the devil comes to him and says, If thou be the Son of God. Hey, listen, God himself declared him Amen. To be the Son of God. Amen. He said, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, there that question is again, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee and keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. You can be seated tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you again. We love you and we thank you for just this opportunity that we have to be here this evening. Lord, we thank you for the love and the grace that you've given us, the mercy that you've showed us. And Lord, we're very grateful for that. Lord, if there's somebody here tonight that's lost, that does not know you, pray they'd get saved tonight. Lord, pray that they know you in the free pardon of sin, to have that peace and joy in their heart, to know that they're going to heaven when they get saved, to know that they're going to heaven when they die. Lord, we thank you for that good promise and that of heaven. Lord, we ask tonight that you just help us while we preach. We certainly not stand in need of you tonight. God, we just need a touch and anointing and that from heaven. Pray you'd touch us, anoint us afresh tonight, Lord, that we'd just, Lord, just be able to help somebody that might have some needs tonight, and that from the Word of God, to find strength and encouragement, and that from the Word of God. Help us tonight while we stand to preach. We just certainly stand in need of you. Lord, again, there may be somebody lost. Save them tonight. Tell you that we love you. Save that sinner's nearest tale for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right, in Luke chapter 4, as we look at this passage of Scripture, we find that the Lord Jesus has been led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, no doubt he knows what's coming. He knows that temptation is coming. He's going out there. He's being tempted in that for 40 days and 40 nights. By the way, if you go and you look at that in the Bible, you'll find that that number 40 is a time of testing and a time of trial. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 1 that he was not only led in that by the Spirit to the wilderness, but he was driven out there by the Spirit. Now, if you notice right here, there was three times that the devil come to him to tempt him. You find three times that he come and begin to deal with him and with temptation. I believe that we find those temptations mentioned in 1 John chapter 2 when he said, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And I believe that all three of them you could find right here. Hey, listen, I believe that when the Bible talks about that we have not a high priest that can't be touched with our infirmities, but was tempted in all points like as we were, like as we are, but yet without sin. Hey, listen, he was tempted with sin, but yet he didn't sin. Amen. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, and made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hey, Peter said that there was no guile and that found in his mouth. Hey, I'm glad he's the sinless one tonight. I'm glad he's the one that went to Calvary and died for me. Hey, he was the only one worthy that could go. He's the only one that could do it. And hey, I'm glad he went, amen. He didn't have to go. They didn't make him go. Bible said in John chapter 10, boy, I'm feeling good now. John chapter 10, he said, I have power to lay my life down. I have power to take it again. This commandment that I have received of my Father. Hey, I'm glad tonight he laid her down, amen. So me and you might get saved tonight. That don't cost you no extra. That was good, amen. But listen, tonight we find that the devil come by and that to tempt the Lord. I want to preach tonight, having a thought for just a minute or two. I'm watching the clock tonight. We ain't in no hurry. Listen, on letting the devil live rent-free with you. I believe that some folk just let the devil live rent-free with them. Hey, I'm going to tell you now, if the devil's going to live with you, you ought to cost him. Amen. Amen. It ought to cost him to have to live with you and deal with you tonight. I believe that. Amen. Number one, and listen, I'm probably going to tell you nothing you don't already know about that you need to do tonight. I'm determined most folk on Sunday night and on Wednesday night know what they need to do. It's just a matter of doing it. Amen. I hope I'm right about that. I hope you know these things tonight. But first of all, let me say that I think you know this. But number one, the devil is our adversary tonight.
Amen.
There is somebody against you. Can I tell you that I am not your adversary?
Amen.
Sometimes y'all think I'm your adversary, but I'm not your adversary. Hey, listen, this book is not your adversary tonight.
Come on.
A lot of folks think that this book is against them. Hey, it ain't against us tonight. It's for us. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, this book is for us. The problem is we just got to get lined up with it tonight.
Amen.
But listen, he's your adversary. He's my adversary. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, will about seek unto whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Hey, what does those words sober and vigilant mean? It means to be watchful, don't it? Does it not mean to be watchful? So the first thing that as him being our adversary is we need to be looking for him. Now I ain't looking for him in that to talk with him. I find a lady in Genesis chapter 3, she got to carrying on a conversation with the devil over there. And you know what happened? Got her in trouble, didn't he?
Amen.
Hey, you start dealing with the devil, he's going to get you in trouble. Hey, man, you start yielding yourself into that, to what he has to say versus what God has to say. I'm getting ahead of myself. Hey, you're going to get in trouble. But here we are. He is our adversary. You know what that word adversary means? It means a foe, one who is in opposition against us. I've told you this a million times, and I'll tell you a million and one times. When does the devil show up? Shows up all the time, don't he? But he's going to show up when you're at your weakest moment and your lowest time. That's when he's going to show up. What do you mean? Lord Jesus was tempted. I believe that during those 40 days he fasted. At the end of them he hungered. But if you read Luke chapter 4 right here, I believe the way that it reads, it says being 40 days tempted of the devil. I believe during those 40 days he was tempted of the devil.
Amen.
But yet we get to the end of them and we find that the devil shows up again in his weakest point, in his weakest moment, and the very first thing that he deals with is his flesh. What do you mean he deals with his flesh? Command this stone that it be made bread. He's been out there for 40 days and he's hungry.
Amen.
And he knows he has the power to take that stone and make it bread. The challenge was, if thou be the Son of God. Well, he already knew he was the Son of God. Satan knew that he was the Son of God. But he says, if thou be the Son of God. And you can look at that in two ways. One, he's challenging his deity. Or the other, he's got him over there to a place. And when if you really be God, then why don't you just do this? You know, it's kind of like I dare you. I don't think you can do it. Well, I'll just show you. That's how we think, ain't it?
Right. Come on.
But he's our adversary. One who is in opposition to us. He is there and that to bother us. He is there in that to hinder us. Paul told the church at one time, he said, I would have come to you once and again, but Satan did hinder us. Hey, listen, if Satan hindered one of the greatest apostles that there ever was, that the world ever seen, don't be surprised when he hinders you. I think sometimes we now, and I'm getting way ahead of myself, but I thank God and that for the hedges that are built about us. And we learned that in Job chapter 1. What was it that Satan said and that to the Lord and that about Job? As a matter of fact, the Lord was the one that brought Job up. Well, what would happen if God brought our name up? So he said in verse 8 of Job 1, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth? Man, that's a good testimony when God the Father said there's none like him in the earth. Job is one of a kind.
Amen.
I'd like to meet that man. Yeah. One day after a while, I will. How about you? Amen. I know I'm going to heaven. Hey, you read on over that Job says in the last days, he said, even after the skin worms devour my flesh, I know that I shall see God.
Amen.
Amen. Job knew he was saved. That's Amen. What he was saying over there. I know I'm, hey, the body may get, the ground may get my body, but I know I'm saved. And Job even knew he's going to get a new body. Amen. Well, he's got some people beat today, don't he?
That's
right. Man, lie. He said, hast thou considered my servant Job? And there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God, and escheweth evil. And then Satan answered the Lord and said, that Job feared God for naught. Hast thou, now here's what he said, ain't you, hast thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he'll curse thee to thy face. And we know what happened. God done exactly that. God took everything away that Job had. Even in chapter 2, he let his health get took away. And Job still never cursed God. But here comes the devil, though. He tells us in that to be sober and to be vigilant, because our adversary, hey, we're to be watching for him because he is going to show up. Now, the Bible said right here in 1 Peter 5 and 8 that he is described and that as a lion. How many of us would want to fight a lion? I was listening to a preacher this morning talk about that for just a minute or two. Want the biggest rifle that he had. But can you imagine in that trying to fight a lion? I mean, trying to fight something that weighs just shy of 1,000 pounds and, I mean, got claws that's as big as my face, you know. You'll go online sometimes. We can talk about this now. You can go online and look at these things. Look at these lions and look how big they are. And I mean, them things get mean.
Amen.
Especially when a lion gets hungry, he gets mean. And his pockets, in his, those pads in his fingers, how after he swipes something and he kills it and he gets all that meat in there and all that rancid meat sets up inside his paws in there. And so the next time he swipes at something and he scars it and he scratches it, all that infection gets in that other piece. Ain't that something tonight? So the devil, he just reaches out and if he gets a hold of you, you're in trouble. I think about the cartoon when we was growing up, that big old cat, you know, that just sliced the dog right down the center, you know. Some of you remember what I'm talking about. Some of you ain't even seen it, but some of you know what I'm talking about. And he just cut him up into pieces, you know. If you let him, he'll do that to you. He wants to devour you. What did he say in the scripture? He said, as a roaring lion walled about, seeking whom he may devour. We don't give the devil enough credit. Sometimes we give him too much credit because it was our flesh instead of the devil that made us do that sin. But sometimes we don't give him enough credit to realize how strong that he really is. Take your Bible and go to the book of Jude right now. I didn't even plan on none of this. Go to the book of Jude. Jude chapter 1, only chapter, and verse 9. Jude and verse 9, the Bible said, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Now if Michael the archangel, who is the angel that stands for the nation of Israel, if he wasn't going to tackle him, I believe that ought to tell us something about how strong he really is. He is out there to devour you. He wants to ruin you. He wants you to stop serving and that the Lord Jesus Christ. How does he devour us? You ever wonder that question? If he's out there to devour us, how does he do it? Well, first of all, he starts the same way that he did with the Lord Jesus right here. Even with us, he tempts us in certain ways, don't he? He'll tempt you to quit. He'll want you to quit. He'll make a real good excuse for you to quit. Well, somebody said something about me. You know what I've learned about a lot of people? Me and Kelly was just talking about this on the way home today. We was talking about some folk from years ago that we know. One wrong word out of turn. We didn't say it, but one wrong word out of turn. And man, they've been out of church since then. But you know what I've learned? If it was just the wrong word that got them out of that church, they would have went somewhere else if they loved God. But I found out most of the time folk want an excuse and that to quit church. Right. And one excuse is just as good as another if it makes them mad. Amen. Don't matter. Let me ask you tonight, are you looking for an excuse to quit church? Are you looking for an excuse and that to quit serving the Lord? Hey, listen, you're letting him live rent-free with you then. If you're looking for that excuse, you've let the devil come in. He's living rent-free with you. He's about to get you, and he's going to destroy you and devour you. Amen. He said, well, you know, I look at all these people that's doing pretty good out of church and not serving God. Hey, that's them, not you, friend. Hey, and by the way, you really don't know what's going on in their life.
Amen.
Hey, somebody made us mad or they talked about us. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you, the devil will come by. He'll whisper and put ideas in your head for you to quit God, for you to quit church, for you to give up serving him. He'll just put it all in your mind. The battle gets hot. Battle gets raging. We'll talk about that here in just a minute and fighting with the devil. And a lot of times, I'm going to be honest with you, we ain't no match for him.
Right.
We don't get out of the bed and holler boo and him run off, or we don't stamp our foot at him and him run away from us. It don't work like that. But friend, I do want you to remember this scripture here, how the Bible does tell us, greater is he, thank 1 John 4, greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. Amen. Hey, the one that resides in you is greater than the one that's ruling the world tonight. Amen. Who's ruling the world tonight? Luke chapter 4 and verse 6, and the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee in the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, to whomsoever I will I give it. If therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. He did not say that's not right. He did not say you do not have that power. Hey, listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, who's that? Satan. And whom the God of this world hath blinded minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He'll put some ideas in your head if you'll let him. Man, I'm tired of the battle. I'm tired of this raging. Hey, listen, things ain't going the way that I wanted them to. I listen, in my spiritual life, in my work for the Lord, this thing ain't turning out like I thought it would. If I thought everything didn't turn out the way I thought it would, I'd quit a long time ago. I thought we should have done built 12 church buildings by now. You were thinking like a preacher. No, don't think like a preacher. It'll get you in trouble. Amen. But he'll tempt you. He'll tempt you to quit. He'll tempt you to get you to give up and say, I don't want to do it no more. You don't want to say that out loud. You don't say that in your heart and in your mind, but you know tonight that I'm telling you the truth. That thing's crossed your mind from time to time. And friend, if you keep dwelling on it, he's going to live in your mind and in your heart rent free if you let him tonight. He'll tempt you to sin. Ain't that right? Yeah. I mean, quitting sin tonight, I know that. But he'll tempt you to sin. He did Eve. He did. I believe he tempted King David when he ended up sinning. He tempted Achan over there. And you may not give in, but I'm going to tell you, if you ain't careful with the friends you keep,
amen,
you're going to let him live rent-free with you. If you ain't careful with what you watch on TV and what you listen to on the radio and what you're reading out of books and magazines and what you're watching or looking at on the internet, on the computer screen, on your telephone. Listen, he's living rent-free with you. He said, be sober, be vigilant. Hey, most of you tonight have sat under that Bible preaching tonight. You're no better about
Amen.
Some things. You ought to know when he talks about to flee fornication, you ought to know to run away from that thing. I'll deal with that here in a minute. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to cost you if you let him live rent-free with you. It always costs somebody.
Yeah, come on.
When you let them live rent-free. Even if they're real good, they're still costing you. Using more electricity. I mean, it's going to cost you somewhere using more water. If somebody's living rent-free with you, I mean, it's just going to cost you some more sleep because they may have different sleeping. Hey, but listen tonight. If you let him live rent-free, it's going to cost you. Then how are we to keep, number two, how are we to keep the devil from living rent-free? Well, you just charge him rent. That's simple, ain't it? You just send him a bill. Well, how do you send him a bill, preacher? I take your Bible and go to the book of Matthew, chapter 4. I don't like the devil. I hate the devil. I don't want him around me. And listen, in what I do day in and day out, he's there a lot of times.
Yeah.
I don't know if you face him, but I face him.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I have to deal with him from time to time. Now, I just don't want to deal with him.
Yeah.
I want you to look as the Lord, we're back on this same story now, Matthew chapter 4. He said in verse 3, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written. Look in verse 6, and he saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, there that question is again, cast thyself down. And so here even Satan uses some scripture out of the book of Psalms chapter 91 and he rests it and twists it and takes it and that out of context and that to apply it to the Lord Jesus right here. He said, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Two things, he didn't quote it all, and the other things, he took it out of context. Verse 7, Jesus said unto him, it is written again. Go with me in that to verse 9. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world at this time, and here's what he said, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. How are you going to charge him rent? You're going to have to use the word of God on him to charge him rent. If he's going to hang around with me, he's going to have to deal with this book right here.
Amen.
If he's going to follow me around, he's going to have to deal and that with this book right here. Hey, listen, you know the one reason, there's more than one reason, but you know one of the reasons you need to learn the Word of God? Hey, David said in Psalms 119 and verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Hey, there's times I don't have a Bible with me. There's times where I can't get to the Scripture. And I say, "Lord, I need some help. I need some Scripture in my life." And hey, some things and that come back to memory that I've studied. Amen. That don't mean a whole lot to you tonight. Friend, I don't know how to make it important to you, but it means a whole lot to me. Amen. I've done that more than once. Say, "Lord, I just need some help with some Scripture right here." And man, it don't take but 30 seconds, and here it comes. You can't do that if you ain't studied your Bible.
Amen.
You can't do that if you ain't applied and that's memorization and that to Scripture tonight. Hey, if you want to keep the devil living rent-free out of your life tonight, you're going to have to apply the Word of God to him. Amen. You have to apply the Word of God to your life. Y'all thought I was going to have some secret, didn't you? Y'all thought I had some great tale to tell about how to keep the devil from living rent-free in your life. And it's only in the Word of God. It's only there. Hey, listen, we need to learn the Word of God and that to keep sin out of our life. Hey, we need to learn the Word of God and that so we'll know how to be able to fight when that time comes. You know what? Because he's come and he has set up his house and he's wanting to live rent-free. He's wanting to not cost anything. He's wanting to have his way. He's wanting to do it his way. But I'm going to tell you tonight, you're going to have to fight. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about we don't wrestle against, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickednesses in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. If you don't want him living rent free, you've got to run him off. You've got to evict him.
Amen.
Do you know that? I know one feller, when he gets some bums, if you let me put it that way, living in his rental houses, and he realizes they're not going to pay. You're a bum if you don't pay what you owe somebody.
Right.
Say amen right there.
Amen.
I'm just telling the truth. If you owe a bill, you owe a bill. You'll try your best to pay that bill. But tonight, that's just extra. But he'll tell them, "Look, if you'll be moved out in 24 hours and you leave my house in the shape that it's in right now and don't destroy it, I'll give you $500 to be gone in 24 hours. That's a pretty good deal. And you know what? Most of them will take it.
Yeah.
Most of them will take it. Hey, they ain't never going to have another chance at getting $500 in 24 hours. But you know what? We can't pay the devil to get rid of him. We're going to have to fight him to get rid of him. So right here we find the way in that how we're supposed to fight. He said to take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all, to stand. So he talks about how we're to stand about with our loins girt with the truth. And listen, it's always the truth that matters. And to have on the breastplate of righteousness, that thing that covers our hearts, you see. And have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What makes us go is to tell the gospel, ain't it? To tell the death, the burial, the resurrection, the good news that Jesus is alive. What makes our feet move? The good news. He said above all, hey, out of all that, he said take the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and they're going to get thrown at you. And he said take the helmet of salvation, that thing that protects our mind to know that we're saved, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and go to fight. How did Jesus put him on the run? Well, with the Word of God, didn't he?
Right.
There was a reason that I chose to read out of Luke chapter 4 instead of Matthew 4. Luke 4 tells us something just a little different than Matthew 4 does. Luke 4 gives us just one little piece of insight that Matthew did not. I'm getting way ahead of myself, but it'll be all right. Luke chapter 4 tells us this in verse 13. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him. Now that's pretty well how Matthew ends with that story. But the book of Luke tells us right here, he departed from him for a season. He only leaves for a little while.
Amen.
You get him on the run, and that with the word of God, and he's only gone for a little while.
Amen.
And then he shows back up.
Right.
Why do you think that he warns us over and over and over again to be sober, to be vigilant? Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, seeking about whom he may devour. So, preacher, what do I use? What scripture do I use when I want to quit? I talked about quitting. What scripture do I use? Galatians 6 and 9. Let's not be weary and well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What we're doing, we may not see fruit today, we may not see fruit next week, hey, we may not see fruit in a year, but always remember that our labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Right.
It will come to pass. 1 Corinthians 9, he said, know ye not the day which run in a race, run off? But one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. Be running this thing so that you can win. There may be some pitfalls and potholes along the run, but always remember that we're running so we can win. If you're looking at somebody, you're looking at somebody that loves to win, I love to be on the winning side. I do. Hey, listen, if I'm going to be involved in something that's a competition, I want to win. If me and my wife, hey, listen, last time we played checkers, she won, and she won't play me again. She won't do it. Why? She won. She don't like me winning. She says, I'm a worse winner than I am a loser. I like to win, friend. Don't you like to win? Hey, why do you think I hate the devil so much and I'm determined not to let him live rent-free in my head and in my heart? Hey, I want to win.
Amen.
And if he's around, I'm going to lose if I keep letting him hang around. You better learn how to charge him rent and run him off. The Bible talks about in Hebrews 12, wherefore seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let's run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction, sinners against himself, lest you be wearied in your minds, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Hey, if there was anybody that could have ever quit, it should have been him. But he didn't. When somebody that's a bum's got to pay rent, they don't generally hang around long, do they?
Right.
I tell you tonight, Satan's a bum.
Amen.
And he don't want to pay rent.
Amen.
He don't want to have to deal with fighting. He don't want to have to deal with the Word of God. He don't want to deal with the bill that's going to have to be sent to him tonight. What about sinning? There's nothing ever good that comes from sin. I'm talking about what scripture do we use. 1 Peter 1, he said, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. I think that's a good scripture. Huh? If you can't find any other scripture in that to deal with sin, that you know, hopefully, surely adultery don't creep up in your life. Bible said, but whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. That ought to be enough to scare you away from it. You can look at Proverbs 23 when it talks about drinking. You can look at 1 Corinthians 15:33 when it talks about cursing and having bad talk. Be not deceived, evil communications, corrupt good manners. Ephesians 4, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And if you can't come up with any other scripture how to get rid of your sin, remember James 4 and 17, therefore him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. I hated that scripture when I was smoking cigarettes. Man, I hated that thing. Because you couldn't find any other scripture in the Bible that could work on me but that one right there. It was bad on my testimony. It was bad on my health. It was just bad on everything. And it would have been good to quit. And he said, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. Oh! That's why you don't like scripture. I was letting the devil hang around and living rent free, you see. Preacher ought not smoke and you ought not either. Say amen right there. Boy, we hit something good, didn't we? Hey, he's either living rent free with you or you're trying to get shed of him. And if you ain't trying to get shed of him, I'm going to tell you what, he's going to cause you problems. He's going to cause you problems. You let him hang around, it's going to cause you some problems. When I get discouraged, and I think discouragement is a normal thing, especially if you pastor a church. But I'm going to tell you, I can see when he's a creeping in. I can see him. And sometimes I forget that it's him, and I'm thinking, man, what's going on here? And then he shows himself. And I say, I know what I'm dealing with now. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. I go back in that to verse 13. He departed from him for a season. I wished I could fight him one time. Run him off and get rid of him one time. But it ain't that way. I may get rid of him for the rest of the day and the rest of the night. He may be back tomorrow or the next day or the next day. But you rest assured he's coming back and he's going to try to live rent free again if you'll let him set up. But it's going to cost you. Going to cost you to do it every time. Let's bow our heads across the house now. Maybe you've realized tonight. Let's get some verse, boys. Let's get some verse of invitation. Maybe you've realized tonight Satan's living rent-free with you. And it's a costing you. It may be in who you're keeping company with. It may be in what you're watching, looking at, or listening to. But it's going to get you. I try to be very careful about that stuff. When I was a young man, I used to think, well, I'm stronger than that stuff. I can handle that stuff. I can handle some wrong music. I can handle looking at some wrong things. And listen, I'm telling you what, friend, it'll get your mind so clouded and such in the wrong direction, you're headed wrong in that way. He's already got you leading you astray. Before you know it. Living rent free with you. And you ain't charging him a dime to be there. You send the bill in the Word of God. Say, right here's why I'm not going to do this. Right here's why I'm not going to sin. It's why I'm not going to cuss. It's why I'm not going to look at wrong things, do wrong things. I'm going to try to live right, try my best to serve God and have a holy life. I'm not going to quit. I may get discouraged, but I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep on going. Right here's why. He'll get tired of that. He'll get tired of that bill. And he won't be living rent-free. But I'm going to tell you, you let him rent-free, let him live rent-free, it's going to cost you and not him. Tonight, friend, if you've never been saved, never come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, never have come and submitted your life and that to him, the one who loves you and died for you, won't you come and get saved tonight? Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you again, Lord, and that for just the opportunity to preach. Lord, we thank you for the message tonight. And help me. And I pray that it's helped your people. I pray some folk have found some strength in you this evening. To know not to let Satan live rent-free with them, but to put the Word of God on him. He can't handle it. Not us. Not anything about us. But it's because you live in us tonight. And you are that book. You are that Word. Lord, help somebody tonight. Maybe he's just whispering in their ear. He's hanging around them, whispering in their ear, giving them some wrong direction, telling them some wrong things. Lord, help them come and find some strength in you. Maybe somebody lost and undone without you. Let them get saved tonight. We love you and we thank you. Help tonight during this invitation for these things in Jesus' name. Let's keep our heads bowed across the house tonight.